Let's turn back to Psalm 23 and just looking at that verse that was speaking to the children. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Just thinking about this psalm and what a wonderful psalm it is and what a great encouragement it is in our lives, this psalm, and there's so much richness in it that I cannot do it justice. But in this psalm we have great encouragement, we have great teaching, we have the greatness of God. And we see David here proclaiming that law about God's goodness. Now David is like the vassal king in a way, that is under the kind of the protection of the overlord. And of course the Lord himself is the overlord. And we have this picture here, this imagery of him going to the table of the, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. We have the picture of the vassal kings coming to the table of the overlord. And in that time the overlord protected the vassal kings and they were under his protection. And David is speaking about a table being prepared in the presence of his enemies. And that's another sermon. And then he speaks about, you anoint my head with oil. So we see David speaking of the overlord, the good shepherd, as the one that sits him down, the one that in whose presence he is secured, in whose presence he is fed, in whose presence his cup is overflowing. And that's what it's like for a Christian man or woman. And remember, David was on the run from Absalom at this time. So he's sitting at the table of the Lord in the presence of his enemies. And that's what it's like as a Christian. We are not promised, it's hard to teach sometimes to the children because we're not promised an easy passage in life. We're not promised that when we come to Christ it's going to be easy and not a life that is problem free. Nowhere in Scripture is that proclaimed. What is proclaimed is that God is with us, that the shepherd is with us throughout our lives. And we can see that throughout this psalm, that the good shepherd is with David. I shall not want. He makes me lie down. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. So it's just full of the goodness of God in this psalm. It doesn't say that life's going to be easy. It doesn't say that life is not going to be problematic. What it says is that God will be with us. And there is like the optimistic view of life and there is the pessimistic view of life. And you would say, what's the difference between an optimist and a pessimist? An optimist is somebody that's fallen off a 100-story flat and when he's 50 stories down he says, I'm not dead yet. But the optimist view and the pessimist view, and you find it in the Christian church, the optimist knows, no matter what he's going through, that he has an optimistic view of God, that his cup is full. No matter what he's facing, the difficulties and the trials that he faces, that his cup is full. And that he can face, as the hymn writer says, tomorrow because he lives. But the pessimist, and you get the pessimistic Christian, is often, when things come and difficulty comes, they adopt a gloom and doom view of God. They think because life can be doom or gloom, that God is doom and gloom, that God is punishing them, and that God in some way is out to get them. And they do not see the cup that they have as overflowing, that they see it as empty. They see it as half full. Not half full, half empty. That's the pessimistic view. But we see David here. In Psalm 23 he says, my cup overflows. My cup overflows. And there's three things I want to look at this morning. The overflowing cup, our or the pessimistic cup and the Lord's cup. What the Father has given us, the overflowing cup. How we see our cup and what it costs the Lord to give us the overflowing cup. So Psalm 23 says, my cup overflows. So what do we have? We sang of it in Psalm 116. I lift my cup of salvation in the presence of your people. Salvation, care, guidance, restoration, comfort, protection, provision, and a position. That's what we have in Psalm 23. And it's a huge challenge to us when the challenges of life come, that we remember whose children we are, whose guests we are, whose cup we're drinking from, what's in the cup, who has given it to us, what it costs the host for us to drink from this cup. See, the cup is a metaphor for the goodness of God to his people. In the host's cup, in the Father's cup, I will lift up the cup of my salvation, David says, and call on the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all the people. Salvation. That's what we have in our cup. And that's the thing that we should always remember as Christians, that we have salvation, that we've been saved. And when we think that God is not doing right by our lives, there is nothing in our lives that deserves us to be saved. There is nothing in our lives that we deserve salvation. The eternal love of God is poured into our hearts and souls. Drink the love, the salvation of God. That's what brings a man and a woman to praise God, when they know what God has done for them. Drink the water of your spiritual life, and it will satisfy your soul. Jesus said that. He said, you can drink that water, but it will never satisfy you, he said to the smart woman. But I will give you water. What water is to the body, Christ is to the soul. He is the one that can satisfy the soul. And this is what the cup is. It's overflowing. It's a bottomless cup. Yet it overflows. The eternal salvation, the love of God, pours in from eternity into our lives through Jesus Christ. But then it pours back out into eternity, pouring from eternity into the lives of human beings. The eternal love of God pouring into our lives. And then throughout the countless ages of eternity, that love is in our lives. I have loved you, he said in Jeremiah 31 verse 3, with an everlasting love. It is an eternal love. It is an eternal cup. The metaphor is of an eternal cup. The everlasting salvation of God, drunk by us, by human beings. The wine of heaven poured into us. The drink, we would say, of angels poured into us. The banquet with the overflowing cup. No wonder the cup overflows. God's blessing into our lives. Or it should overflow. How can jars of clay contain heaven's blessing? How can we as jars of clay contain it? The immeasurable love of God in Jesus Christ. The immeasurable salvation of God in Jesus Christ pouring into our lives as we drink it. It's too much. It pours out. God's blessing pours into us. And the Christian that really knows that his cup or her cup is overflowing, it pours out into the world. Because the blessing of heaven, they have drunk it. And it pours out into the world around them. And people know that you belong to God if you're drinking from the overflowing cup. You will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Drink from the cup. When we ask God to save us, what did we realize? Often Christians go about and they have the helmet of salvation and they're completely spiritually naked. They do not know what their position is. That they are saved forever. That they're justified, just as they had never sinned. That they're sons of daughters of God. That they're priests, a royal priesthood. That they're heirs and co-heirs with Christ. That they're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And the list goes on. That's the overflowing cup. That is the overflowing cup. The overflowing cup is yours. Your host, your Father gives it to you. It's your God's cup for you. Drink it and drink it all. And God is offering this cup to everyone today. If you haven't drunk from this cup yet, come and drink from it. What cup are you drinking from today? The cup that God gives you overflows with salvation. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God cares for us. Cast your anxieties upon him because he cares. God guides us. Ask and it will be given. God restores us. Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God comforts. Do not let your hearts be troubled. We want to look at that tonight. God protects. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadows of the Almighty. God gives us provisions. Give us this day our daily bread. God has given us a position. Heirs and co-heirs with Christ. We need to really think of how full our cup is and how overflowing it is. And Psalm 23 says, that is yours as a child of God. That is everyone's that comes to Christ. But often we as Christians can be pessimistic and we feel that our cup is half full, that it's empty. And often we hear ourselves saying, why? And why is a legitimate question. But why God can often be an attitude of our lives. Why is my life empty? Why is there no joy? Why is there no happiness? Why is there no peace? Why is there no rest and comfort? And we become bitter and angry and cynical. Rather than why is a legitimate question. But often we should be asking whom or where, to whom can I go, as Peter said, for you alone are the words of eternal life. We ask, why is it my cup empty? Well, if you're a Christian, your cup shouldn't be empty. It shouldn't be empty. There might be things in our lives that are really hard and really difficult and really trying, but our cup should still be full. And there should be stuff in that cup to help us face life. Because God himself has filled it. So we can say, why? And there can be the woeful and regretful things in life, the missed opportunities, broken relationships, difficult childhoods. And we can be driven by hard hearts. And our cup is becoming filled and filled with hardness and with bitterness. And we're not taking in the pure water of Christ into our souls, but we're taking the darkness of what's in our own cup and filling it. And often we can be given difficult cups in life to take, and they can be difficult. Difficult situations in life. But when we are given that, we need to take something that is bigger than the cups that we have been, that we have in life. And that is the cup that overflows. That's God's cup. The Father's cup is bigger than any cup that we have in life. It is. That's a reality. And it can overflow. Remember where David was at that time. There are so many things that we can fill our lives with. That we can fill our cup with. Self-righteousness. What I've done. And we can look out at the world. Every one of us. And it's so deceitful. And we see the world through the bitterness of our cup. And we judge it. And we say, well, I come to church and I do this. I do my prayers. And look at all these people in the community. They're the real people that need this cup, not me. But our cup is full with bitterness. And we can have a cup that is filled with self-indulgence too. We fill it with money, we fill it with power, we fill it with possession. We fill it with status and position. And we fill it with pleasure. That's what the prodigal did. But it was never full. It was cracked. It leaked. Until every drop went through his fingers. He filled it with everything he knew. And the more he filled it, the more it leaked. Until all the contents of that cup sipped through his fingers. And the four things that he thought he could get away from his... that he could get away from his father's house with the money that he had. The four P's, they slipped from him. The power, the possession, the position and the pleasure all slipped from his cup. And he was in the pigsty. He thought he could have more power outside his father's house. He thought he could have more possessions. He thought he could have a greater position. He thought he could have pleasure. And that's often as Christians what we think. That we think that we can get better outside of God's care. But what we get is something that slips through our hands. And it slips. It's a cup that we drink and it's never, never full. It's constantly empty. And the more we drink of it, the more it empties us. And all these things were in his father's house. The father's house, the cup overflowed. He had the power and the possession and the position and the pleasure of his father's house. What cup are we drinking from today? Do you need to come home and drink and sit at the father's table and drink the cup that the father is passing to you? Do you need to come home and take that cup? See, the half empty, the half full cup is... it's full. It's like an oxymoron. Although it's empty, it's full. Because it's full of bitterness. It's full of brokenness. It's full of hardness. It's full of sourness. It's full of self-pity. It's full of self-righteousness. And it's full of self-indulgence. And the person and the Christian who drinks from that cup will never be satisfied. And many you see that drink from that cup, and you try and help them, and you try and encourage them. You try and guide them by the word of God. You try and bring hope. It's like my father would say, whatever I put a hole, they put a nail. You go and open a well of God's goodness to them, and they plug it with negativity. It's a pessimistic attitude at its worst. And all of us can be guilty of that attitude. And if we have the attitude, this attitude to life, that the Father's cup is half empty, that the Father has given us an empty cup, then we need to come back and see what it costs the Father for that cup to overflow. Remember what we said? You have salvation, you have care, you have guidance, you have comfort, you have protection, provision and position. We need to look at him and thank him. Thank him for what he has done. But often we can moan and we can complain. We can be so guilty of that. And we don't thank God. We don't thank the Father. C.S. Lewis said that hell begins with a moaning spirit. That's how bad moaning is, that C.S. Lewis would say that. Thank him for what he has done for us, the needs that he has met for us. Don't complain for our wants. Say with David, I shall not want. Give thanks in every situation. Praise and worship. And as we thank and worship God, we will see the depths of the cup that he has for us. And if we can't look at the cup that the Father has given us with thanks, we need to consider, as I said, what it cost the Father, and we need to look at the Lord Jesus' cup. A cup of our sin, of our mourning, of our complaining, a cup of our darkness and our blackness, a cup of God's judgment. God made him who had no sin to become sin, so that in him we would have the righteousness of God. It's a cup of God's wrath. It's a sorrow, cup of sorrow, of Christ's sorrow. And you see the sorrow of Christ in Gethsemane as he drinks from this cup. And you think of this cup that Christ had. God squeezed all the blackness of humanity and concentrated it into Christ's cup. Squeezed every drop of the blackness of humanity that would come to Christ. It was concentrated. It was not diluted. And that's why the word of God should never be diluted for people, because God concentrated the blackness of humanity into a cup and he passed it to his own son. The pure, undiluted evil of humanity. We think of Satan as evil, and he is, but humanity's evil was put in a cup for the Son of God. And the wrath from the judgment of God and the anger of God was passed to Jesus. No wonder he was anxious. No wonder he was sweating blood in Gethsemane. Because it's not as though Jesus wasn't trusting. You know, we get anxious and we get worried because we don't trust God. But there was no way past what Jesus was being passed. The cup that he knew there was no way out of it. God was not going to be there for him. God was going to turn his face away from him. And the sin of the world was going to be on the Son of God. No wonder he sweated blood. No wonder when we think of eternity that we should shake and tremble. Because if we don't make peace with Christ here, then we shall be filled with dread, as Christ was filled with dread in Gethsemane, because of the cup that was being passed to him. And he drank every last drop. He didn't spill it. It didn't leak. The most filthy, putridge, disgusting cup drank by the Son of God. He didn't moan or complain. He mourned because he was facing a death. Death with his relationship to the Father. And he was sorrowful in Gethsemane because he knew what he was facing at Calvary. He mourned. He was sorrowful. He was dying a death to his Father. Now let us drink the cup of our God. The cup of salvation. The cup of provision. And let us not complain, but drink it with thanks. Drink it in thanks in good times, but drink it in thanks in difficult times. That's what God asks us to do. Take it and he will provide in every time for us. And the thing is, if we do not take this cup today, if we have not taken this cup, and we refuse to take the cup that the Father is passing to us, the overflowing cup, if we've never taken the Father's cup, and we've never known Jesus or his forgiveness, we've never known the cup of salvation, after the free offer, after seeing what Christ has drunk, then God will pass us the cup that we want. Revelation 16 verse 19 says, God remembered Babylon the great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of his fury and wrath. Babylon, the world, and us who reject God, the cup is filled with the fury and wrath. Jesus drank that cup in Gethsemane, and he was filled with horror, and he was anxious, and he sweated blood. Now we have a choice to take the cup that is overflowing, or we can take the cup of Babylon. If we don't want the cup of Psalm 23, then God will give us the cup that we want. What is our choice today? To take the overflowing cup of Psalm 23 or to take the cup of Babylon in Revelation 16 verse 19. And Christians, we need to constantly drink from the overflowing cup, or else we'll have an attitude that our cup is half empty and that God is shortchanging us. What do we want? God's cup for us, the Father's cup, our cup, the half empty cup, the moaning cup, Christ's cup, the cup of wrath. Let us be like David that says, my cup overflows. May God bless these thoughts to us.